All right, so today's talk, and from the same book, The Wonders of the Rosary, the first one has to do with Mother's Day. The implication is, of course, we offer our mother, we remember her every year. In fact, this year, May 10th, is Mother's Day, and it's actually the 118th anniversary of the first Mother's Day in this country. It was first celebrated in Grafton, West Virginia, on May 10th, 1908. So the second Sunday in May was fixed as Mother's Day here in the United States. And we always have this tradition of offering our mothers flowers on this day. And interestingly, the rosary itself, the word rosary comes from the word rose, in Latin, rosa, and it's makes a reference to offering Our Lady flowers, as after all, she is our mother, given to us by our Lord. And this was a long-standing tradition in Europe to offer flowers to one's mother. And now, what is interesting is that for a long time, the rosary was just called Our Lady's Psalter. It was never actually called the rosary until about the 15th century, specifically the year 1422. Now, St. Maximilian Kolbe actually relates this history, but he says it's a Franciscan who received this apparition of Our Lady. But I think he was trying to get one up on the Dominicans in this. But anyways, we'll leave it to you to decide. So anyways, so 1422, there was a Franciscan novice who had a habit of adorning an image of Our Lady with roses. And when he later, actually from before his time in the monastery, so when he later joined the monastery, he no longer had this opportunity to bring flowers to Our Lady, and this grieved him very much. And so in this year, 1422, Our Lady appeared to him and simply told him to recite her Psalter, as it was called at that time. And as he said each Hail Mary, she pulled a rose from his mouth and she used it to weave a garland for herself. So this is where the custom of calling the rosary came. You know the rosary itself as the prayer was given to St. Dominic in a particular way, the 150 Hail Marys with the 15 mysteries and so on. But Our Lady also gave to the Franciscan order something called the Franciscan Corona, or literally the Franciscan Crown, which is also called a rosary, especially in English. This Franciscan Crown is a meditation on the seven joys of Our Lady: the Annunciation, Visitation, Nativity of Jesus, Adoration of the Magi, and the Finding in the Temple. The Resurrection, and also either the Assumption or the Coronation. So it's this word, I mean, first of all of these prayers with beads became a common way of offering roses to Our Lady, and it became, the word rosary just became the common word to refer to all of these beaded prayers. As it stands, now the reason Father Calloway was able to consider all of this whole history authentic is because of something that happened in Nicaragua in 1980, where Our Lady appeared to an older gentleman who was actually sacristan of a church, who finally, at the age of 49 or 50, he decided to enter seminary and was ordained a priest 15 years later, and served as a priest for just 3 or 4 years before he died. But he received an apparition of Our Lady, where she taught him the whole history of the rosary. And so all of this was included, and he recorded everything under orders of his bishop. And this is why we can say this history has received some kind of approval from heaven. So it is only after, 1422, that even Blessed Alan de la Roche, who founded the Rosarians, or refounded the Rosarians, he what do you say, called the rosary, the crown of roses, or corona rosarum, which means crown of roses. So it's this devotion is a great way for us ourselves to crown our spiritual mother, to give her these spiritual roses. It's very pleasing to her when we do so, because we disconnect ourselves from the world, and in our own little way, and even in the silence of our souls, we can connect to God. We can, in a way, receive, connect ourselves to a source of peace. The world, as we were just talking, seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, and so this is the time to pray fervently, to develop a deeper and more fervent prayer life. And it is when doing so that we can pay attention to the life of our Lord through the rosary, through the mysteries, and cultivate this charity in our souls for God. Our Lord himself gave us his mother our own mother. And so it's a way of saying to her, I love you, every time we say a Hail Mary. And there is this, you may have read or not read this book titled The World's First Love on Mary, Mother of God. It's by Bishop Fulton Sheen. So there's a little passage in there that you can relate to all of your Protestant friends, to explain to them why we repeat the Hail Mary. And it's not blind repetition. So this is what Bishop Fulton Sheen wrote in this book, The World's First Love. A woman came to see me one evening after instruction. She said, I would never become a Catholic. You say the same words in the rosary over and over again, and anyone who repeats the same words is never sincere. I would never believe anyone who repeated his words, and neither would God. I asked her who the man was with her. She said he was her fiancé. I asked, does he love you? Certainly he does. But how do you know? He told me. What did he say? Oh, no. What did he say? He said, I love you. When did he tell you last? About an hour ago. Did he tell you before? Yes, last night. He tells me every night. I said, don't believe him. He's repeating. He's not sincere. So, I mean, it's one central thing about our religion is that personal relationship with God. And, the two previous popes, Pope Benedict often harped on it, in a way, to talk about this thing called the encounter. We have an encounter with God through prayer. And when we say the name of any saint when we pray, when we say Hail Mary, she's there. She's in with God in heaven. She's alive. And she's able to be everywhere because of her glorified body. So she is there when you say Hail Mary. So to say the prayer she herself gave us to say through St. Dominic would be certainly a way of showing our love to her. So love is what the rosary is all about, and therefore every time we say the rosary, we can crown her with a crown of roses. Every day is Mother's Day for us Catholics in that way. Now, the next part of this talk is about conversion. I mean, we can pray the rosary, of course, to convert ourselves, to leave behind our own way of living our lives and try to live in a way that is more pleasing to God. And that is also, every time we're struggling with difficulties trying to overcome something, the rosary is a great and powerful way to do so. Now, you may have heard of a man named Bartolo Longo, who lived in Naples, actually, in the south of Italy. He lived in there in the 19th century. And at that time, you may have heard also of Garibaldi and all of this nationalism that was going through Italy, especially through the universities. So he got caught up with the nationalistic movement and fell away from the Catholic Church, because the nationalism of that time was also anti-Catholic. So he fell away from the church. He actually ended up joining groups of the occult and was even ordained a satanic priest. And that, of course, this the devil, you know, promises everything, but really mistreats all of his servants. And so he suffered nightmares, hallucinations, depression, very serious anxiety attacks, and so on. And so he was disappointed that getting involved in the occult because of, I mean, he got into it because he believed what he was told about the Catholic Church. So getting involved in the occult did not give him any fulfillment in life, no happiness at all. And so finally he broke down and went to speak to a Catholic priest. And this is where the priest turned out to be a Dominican and a promoter of the rosary, and encouraged him to pray the rosary to help himself out of this trouble. And this is where, within a short time, he was able to start seeing his way out. A lady brought him the light, helped him go through confession and so on. And from there, he, you know, converts tend to be very, at least at the beginning part of their conversion, tend to be quite zealous. And so he was no exception. He even barged into seances and would tell everyone to repent try to break the whole thing up and so on. But eventually he became a Third Order Dominican. He took the name Brother Rosario, and he started many charitable works, orphanages, schools, and so on and so forth. And it is thanks to him that right now in the city of Pompeii in southern Italy, there is a pontifical basilica of Our Lady of the Rosary. And there's a beautiful image of Our Lady of the Rosary placed in the church. That's where the 54-day novena, the Rosary novena, was first started. And it is known as the irresistible novena. Apparently, Our Lady can never resist anyone who prays that novena. So it's a very powerful one. And so this man, Bartolo Longo, finally died in 1926, and he was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1980, a former ordained priest of Satan. So the rosary is a very powerful prayer to bring about conversion of the soul. And Sister Lucia dos Santos, one of the seers of Fatima, actually also says that after the Mass, the rosary is the next prayer. That's powerful to draw our spirit, help us grow in the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. It's after the Mass, it is like spiritual bread for our souls. There are priests who even refer to praying the rosary in the evening as receiving an evening communion. This was also in the late 19th century. At that time in the church, the practice was to always have Mass only in the morning, and not after midday. And this way, you know, you never saw an evening Mass. And so for this, there's a priest who living in the south of France at that time, he referred to the evening rosary as his evening communion, almost saying that it was replacing the Mass. St. Louis Marie de Montfort himself referred to the rosary as the greatest prayer after the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He wrote, "One day Our Lady revealed to Blessed Alan that after the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is the most important, as well as the living memorial of our Blessed Lord's Passion, there cannot be a finer devotion or one of greater merit than that of the Holy Rosary, which is like a second memorial and representation of the life and passion of our Lord Jesus Christ." In essence, because it takes us through the whole life of our Lord, it flows in a way from the Mass, which has often been referred to as the source and summit of Christian worship. It's the one moment it commemorates the best, the highest moment of our Lord's mission here on earth. And so the rosary is kind of like a pedestal under it, you know, that kind of carries as its as the base of the Mass, his whole life. So. Some priests have even referred to the rosary as Jesus living again in the soul through Mary's maternal action. And you may remember also from some of the talks of the first Saturdays that Our Lady, when she gave birth to Our Lord, she did not suffer anything because she was free of sin. She was therefore free of the curse that was placed upon Eve after the fall. But at in first of all Apocalypse 12, we read of this lady giving birth while in great pain. And spiritual commentators have said that this lady is again Our Lady herself, but this time at Mount Calvary, giving birth to us spiritually as the church. And this is where we, in a way, are a cause of her sufferings through our sins. And so this, Our Lady, by being our mother's, our mother in here together in the church, she in a way brings our Lord forth, or rather in a way gives birth to our Lord in our souls through her maternal action. She's, and again, about this, one of the reasons we have to suffer a lot in this life to be able to come to heaven is specifically has to do with Mount Calvary and Our Lady's intercession, because in a way, we ourselves in our soul are trying to change our soul through God's grace, of course, to so that Jesus himself will be able to live there. We will be filled with sanctifying grace. We will be able to be free of sin eventually. And that's what the suffering of our own lives is about. And it is this suffering of Mount Calvary that we have to go through spiritually. And this is where Our Lady, having gone through it physically and spiritually at that time, she's able to help us through her intercession to give birth to Jesus himself in our souls. Mm-hmm. So through Mary's intercession, the Rosary can bring souls to Jesus and brings Jesus to souls through Mary. It is a mini catechism and also the whole New Testament all on a string of beads. So when we pray it, with devotion, it allows us to make a spiritual pilgrimage through all of the sites of our redemption, leading us through conversion, of course, first of all, then confession, and also finally to Holy Communion, to be with Jesus. Pope Pius XI actually put it this way: the Rosary elevates minds to the truths revealed by God and shows us heaven open. The Virgin Mary herself has insistently recommended this manner of praying. All graces are conceded to us by God through the hands of Mary. It has the power to bring about conversion because it leads us away from sin, directs us to a life of virtue, moves us to fully embrace the teachings and sacraments of the Church by living a life of sanctifying grace. So it is not mindless repetition when it's prayed with devotion and not mechanically, but with serious attention, intentionally, as some would say. And then we will imperceptibly, grace will constantly grow in our souls. We will actually become aware of sins to confess. Our examinations of confession will become better. And then as we confess sins and more of them are washed away, things start becoming clearer and clearer for us. And we discover a kind of new strength to live life in a way that's pleasing to God, in a way that God would want us to. That's why the Rosary is, because it takes us through the whole life of our Lord, it becomes a powerful means of conversion, not only in ourselves, but also in all peoples. So as an example, you may have heard of this feast or this week of Christian unity. It's prayed from January 18th to January 25th. So from the feast of St. Peter, the chair of St. Peter in Antioch, to the conversion of St. Paul on January 25th. It was actually started by a group of Anglicans on October 7th in 1901, October 7th being the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. A group of Anglicans started it. They called their movement the Rosary League of Our Lady of the Atonement, because they were themselves looking to be in the one church that Jesus founded. And within about 8 years, about 17 members of the group converted to Catholicism. So it was, and in, you know, I mean, there were Anglican priests and even a mother, a reverend mother, a superior of a convent. So they were all, because of this almost, you can say, miraculous conversion, the Pope at that time, 1909, it was Pope Pius X, Benedict XV, had this week of January 18th to 25th named the week of church unity. And every church is supposed to say add a different collect to the Mass and so on at that time. There was a famous priest, you may remember, Father Patrick Peyton. Mm-hmm. He's venerable now. He's famous also for saying, "The family that prays together stays together." Well, he had a gift in a way of bringing together large numbers of people for rosary rallies, just to pray the rosary together. And he has traveled all over the world. And apparently, communists accuse him of being a CIA agent and so on. We'll get into that in one of the later talks. But he had this to say: when you look at the rosary in your hand, it appears very simple, that little string of beads. Yet how far that short chain reaches, and what a cosmos it encircles, how closely binds us to God and to Mary. You hold the power to change your lives through the rosary. And so that's where I'll end my talk. It's the rosary is far more powerful than we think. And even if we think it's very simple, we should remember what was told to the king Naaman of Syria when he was suffering from leprosy. All he had to do was go to Israel and bathe in a river 7 times. And it upset him because he was a proud and arrogant man. He wanted something great and magnificent to happen so that he would get some glory in front of his people. But all he was supposed to do was go bathe in a river. And so it was his servant girl from Israel who convinced him that, you know, if it was anywhere else, he would have done it. Or if he wanted to get healed, why not just listen to this prophet of God, this Israelite prophet? So he did, and he was healed miraculously, and that itself led to a conversion of his own heart. He recognized that the God of Israel is the true God. So in that way, if we find opposition, aversion in our heart, just still go ahead and pray the rosary. There's enough backing there for the value of the rosary. Just pray despite yourselves in a way and ask God to help your aversion, and he will lift it off, will take it away from you, and you'll find a great peace every time you pray the rosary after that. Well, that's all I have for my talk today. So.